The following is an excerpt from the Science Podcast. To hear the whole show, visit www.sciencemag.org and click on Science Podcast.
Finally today, David Grimm, Science's online news editor, is here with some of the latest stories from our daily news site. So, first off, we have a story about twins. And so, it's kind of well known how physiologically this happens. What new information is in this article?
Well, you're right, Carrie. Obviously, we know why twinning happens on a biological level. The question in this study is really, why does twinning happen on an evolutionary level? In other words, why has twinning persisted? And the reason scientists are asking this question is because there's actually a lot of problems with having twins, especially for women in developing countries. Twins tend to be born a lot smaller, a lot weaker, and a lot less healthy than single children. So there's a higher likelihood that they will die. Also, as you might imagine, women that bear twins have more complications during childbirth. And again, that is a bigger problem in developing countries where there's less access to medical care. And if you sort of go back along the human timeline, you can imagine that a long time ago, twinning would have also been difficult for women. And if something is difficult and if something tends to kill women and children, you would think that over the course of evolution, it would have been something that had been weeded out, and yet twinning persists today. And so this is all a long way of saying, why do we still have twinning when it causes a lot of problems?
So how did scientists tackle this question?
Well, in this study, scientists looked at a group of women in Gambia. And the reason they chose Gambia is there's actually a very large data set there going back to the 1950s. There's been a lot of doctors working in that area that have kept very good health records for women and for births and things like that. And all scientists need to do in this new study was to go through those records, look at women that had had twins, and then just basically try to look for trends. And what they saw was that women that had twins first and then had a single baby after that, these single babies tended to be about 226 grams heavier on average than single babies that were born when no twins were in the picture. And usually the heavier the baby, the healthier it is too. This finding wasn't so much of a surprise. Scientists had suspected that when women give birth to twins first, their reproductive tract sort of arranges itself in such a way that when babies are born later, they're actually filtered more nutrients than they would be otherwise. But the surprising finding was that researchers found that even when single babies were born before twins were born to the same mother, these single babies tended to be heavier, about 134 grams heavier on average. So there seems to be an advantage if women have twins. Even though having the twins is a disadvantage, an advantage comes when she has another baby, whether she has that baby before or after the twins.
In a way, the mother is basically being repaid for the risky ordeal that she went through.
Exactly. There's a sort of balancing that's going on here. Even though twinning can be negative, there seems to be some positives too. And the researchers don't exactly understand how this is happening, but they suspect a protein called IGF-1. And they know that IGF-1, when it circulates at high levels in women, can cause twinning. It has some sort of effect on the ovaries, causing them to release multiple eggs, which can lead to twinning. But it also has an effect on how much a fetus grows during development. So that could explain some of the linkage that scientists are seeing between twins being born and heavier children being born either before or after the twins are being born.
And next up, we're talking about a species of rat that is particularly toxic to its predators.
Right. Well, this is another biological mystery. This is a mystery about a rodent known as the African crested rat. And this is depending on your point of view, a pretty ugly or a pretty cute creature. You can check out the website and decide for yourself. But this is actually a rodent that's actually more closely related to lemmings or voles than true street rats. And the mystery is that this rat, which lives in East Africa, when it gets bit by dogs, these dogs tend to become very violently ill, and even sometimes they die. And so researchers have been trying to figure out what is killing these dogs. How is this rat, who's a fairly small creature, killing these very large dogs for the most part?
And so what is its secret?
Well, so basically what they did was they did a little Agatha Christie here, and they actually followed this rat around and tried to see if there's anything about its lifestyle that sort of explains its toxicity. And what they found was that these rats tend to gnaw on pieces of bark from an African tree known as the arrow poison tree. And this tree contains a compound called wabane, which is a chemical that overstimulates the heart muscle and can cause heart attack. It's actually a poison that East African hunters, once used, to poison their arrow tips, hence the name of the tree, for taking down large game like elephants. And what the researchers saw this rat doing was that it would gnaw on pieces of the bark, and then it would coat its fur in the spit after it gnawed on these pieces of bark. And so that what they think these rats are doing is basically coating themselves with this poison. And when they took a closer look at the rat, they discovered that the rat is actually pretty well built to hold on to this poison. Its hairs on its body are actually sort of like wicks for the toxin. They really draw the toxin in. And so when the rat coats itself with this wabane, it really just becomes just covered in this poison, so that anything that bites it, dogs included, are going to get very sick and possibly die.
When we think of poisonous animals, probably the first ones that come to mind are snakes, insects that sting and bite. Are there any other mammals that have evolved this defense mechanism?
Well, it's a good question. Actually, capuchin monkeys rub themselves with millipedes to keep away mosquitoes, and that's sort of a similar behavior that you're seeing here. The difference here is that these rats aren't really trying to keep away the dogs. They're actually kind of killing the dogs. They are killing the dogs. And what's unique about this situation is that these rats are actually killing a very large predator rather than just doing something like pest control, which is essentially what the capuchin monkeys are doing.
Well, I can only imagine how unpleasant the New York subway system would be if these things came over to North America.
Right.
And now our last story today is about an astronomical body that joins the ranks of black holes.
Right. Well, the way we sort of sold this story, Carrie, was what do the Canadian rock band Rush, Stephen Hawking, and a bright source of X-rays have in common?
I can't wait to find out.
Right. And the answer, as you sort of alluded to, is this black hole. It's a black hole named Cygnus X-1. And actually, when Rush sang about it in 1977, scientists weren't sure exactly what it was. They knew it was a powerful source of X-rays. They knew it was a few thousand light years away, and they had named it Cygnus X-1, and Rush proclaimed it a black hole in its song. Stephen Hawking, and this is where he comes in, had his doubts. This new study is not about proving that Cygnus X-1 is actually a black hole. That was actually done earlier this year when astronomers came up with much more reliable data about exactly where Cygnus X-1 was and what it actually was, and they found that it was indeed a black hole. This new study is really about what is the fate of this first black hole ever discovered.
Well, don't keep us in suspense. So what is this fate?
Well, the fate, according to some simulations, is not very positive. What the researchers have found is this black hole will swallow mass. It's already swallowing mass from this unfortunate star that's circling it. And eventually this star is going to explode, and then the black hole is going to sort of wander the universe by itself. It's a very sad story. And the way the astronomers discovered this was they actually ran some simulations, as I said, and basically what they found is that this star that's circling the black hole weighs about 19.2 suns. The black hole itself weighs about 14.8 suns, and the black hole has been probably swallowing stars for a very long time, and it's actually in the process of slurping away a lot of material from this star that's orbiting it. What the simulations show is that as the star continues to transfer more of its mass to the black hole, the two objects will slowly start moving away from each other because of both of their changes in mass. And today, their centers are about half as far apart as Mercury is from the Sun. But in the future, that distance is going to grow greater and greater until it gets to what's now the distance between the Sun and the Earth and keep on growing. And what the simulation suggests is that a couple million years from now, the star is going to explode, leaving the black hole by itself and basically going off into the cosmos alone.
And how does Einstein's theory of relativity play into this?
Well, if you want to throw Einstein into the mix as well, one possible scenario is that after the star explodes, when we say a star explodes, it doesn't just vaporize. In this case, the star could become a neutron star, which is basically a dead star that's not as extreme as a black hole, even though it still has a tremendous amount of mass. And if these two objects remain in orbit, the black hole and the neutron star, they could actually trigger the creation of gravitational waves, which are ripples in space-time that were predicted by Einstein's general theory of relativity, and that observers here on Earth have been hoping to detect for a long time. So this unique pair is not only interesting because Rush sang about it and because Stephen Hawking postulated about it, but it actually could provide an important test for some ideas about gravitational waves. So there's a lot of really cool stuff going on here.
And what other news have we had this week?
Well, for Science Now, we've got a story about getting the body's own immune cells to attack cancer and how that may lead to new treatments for leukemia and other cancers. And also a story about how golf courses can aid in bat conservation. Also on Science Insider, we've got a story about women in science and why they make less than their male counterparts. Also a story about the debt agreement signed in the U.S. last week and what impact that will have on science. And finally, for Science Live, our weekly chat on the hottest topics in science, this week's chat's about type 1 diabetes. What are the current treatments and what are the possibilities for future cures? So be sure to check out all these stories on the site.
David Grimm is the online news editor of Science. You can check out the latest science news on the policy blog, Science Insider, at news.sciencemag.org, where you can also join a live chat, Science Live, on the hottest science topics every Thursday at 3 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time.